the Lads to Leaders program that we participated in last weekend. And I'm sure Josh is going to have more to say about it. What a great program that was, though. So inspiring to see so many of our young people, but also young people from the church all over that have a strong desire to serve in the Lord's church. That was so exciting. And so when it comes to our song of invitation, we're going to sing Soldiers of Christ Arise. And I want us to really consider that challenge that these young people have shown us. To open our service, we're going to sing the servant song, Lord, make me a servant. And what a beautiful prayer that is. Sometimes when we pray, we're looking for opportunities. I think when I've prayed this song before, I believe the answer to the prayer was Him showing our young people in their service and saying, okay, follow this example, follow their lead. We appreciate so much Josh and the job he's doing with our young people and everyone else who has who volunteered to help with this program. So let's sing the servant song through twice, then we'll be led in our opening prayer, and then I think Josh is going to introduce the rest of the service. 694, servant song.
Make me a servant, or make me like you, for you are
Father, we humbly bow before you to give you thanks for this opportunity we have to come here tonight. Pray, Heavenly Father, your blessing would be upon the sick of our congregation, their health, that your hand would be at the doctors, that you'd guide them, and that their health would be restored to them. Pray, Heavenly Father, for those of the congregation who have lost loved ones, such as Sister Jerry, who's suffering with the loss of her mother, Brother Joe, who's at Northeast, who has lost his son. Pray that you'll comfort them in a way that only you know how, Heavenly Father, because your son, through his sacrifice, we know that you understand what the loss they're going through. Pray, Heavenly Father, for this service tonight, as we take this time to recognize the youth and their accomplishments that they've achieved through their love for you and their hard work. We give you thanks, Heavenly Father, that you've blessed this congregation with such a youth group. Pray that your blessing will continue upon them. We give you thanks for Josh, Megan, all those who have helped them so much, all those provided snacks and everything so they could do their studying to accomplish what they have. Pray, Heavenly Father, you'll continue to bless them, that they will grow in their love and knowledge for you and be leaders forever in your church. In your Son Jesus' name, amen.
Before we begin, I've been told there is a children's training class for ages 3 through kindergarten. However, if you want to stay in here, they might see some of their peers doing something special. So you might hesitate to take them to that tonight. But it is available if that's something you want to do. But if you'd like to stay for the presentation, that would be fine as well. So I wanted to start first of all. I was really excited last weekend. We worshiped with over 8,000 with 8,000 other people last Sunday morning. There were thousands of people that we worshiped with, and there were so many families and so many young people. It's just so encouraging, because sometimes the path of a Christian can feel a little bit lonely. But when you're surrounded by brethren, whether you're in the corporate assembly like this, or with thousands, it feels even better to be a Christian, and it's just a little piece of what heaven's going to be like someday. And I wanted to start really with a sincere thank you, because there were so many people here. I could just see faces across the auditorium that were so helpful in just what we've accomplished so far with Lads to Leaders, people who brought snacks, people who went over Bible Bowl questions, people who helped write speeches, people who helped critique speeches, people who helped with songs, people that were just there for advice. There are so many people here that if I started thanking people, I'm sure I would forget to thank someone. So I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you, all of you who helped. Thank you so much. Especially the leadership here, the elders and the deacons, thank you so much for this opportunity for our youth, and I think we're going to see a lot of growth because of it. As we learned back in October, when Roy Johnson came to speak with us, Lads to Leaders isn't just something you do for like a short period of time. It's kind of something the whole congregation has to buy into, and it's something we kind of do all the time, because we are constantly wanting to encourage our youth for service and also to train them so that they're ready to stand up in the pulpit someday. They're ready to lead a prayer. They're ready to lead a song. They're ready to read a scripture at a moment's notice, because they're ready to do it. These are skills that translate really well. Public speaking skills translate great in a lot of domains. Becoming a great public speaker is something they could use all their life, even outside the Lord's church. So certainly there's some skills that transfer here. Next year, we'll go ahead and look ahead to next Easter. Next year, the theme of Lads to Leaders is the book of Romans. And our theme verse is Romans 1:16. And our message is, "For I am not ashamed." So that's what we're going to be looking at for all this year up to next year's convention. "For I'm not ashamed." And we had a great experience, and our families are really excited about it. And like, hey, we could do this. Or I've got an idea. We could do that. And that's what I thought maybe going to the convention would bring. Bring some of that enthusiasm and see some of the possibilities that are available. You don't just have to compete. There are some events where you can compete. You can compete to be a song leader, but you could be a year-round song leader. It's not a competitive event. You just have to go lead singing at opportunities throughout the year. You might lead a song before a devotional. You might lead a song on a Wednesday night. You might lead a song before services on a Sunday night. You just have to do that a certain number of times. It's more of an achievement than it is a competition. So I want you to be aware there are other ways that you can participate, that your child can participate, that aren't necessarily competitive if the competitive part is something that holds you back from the program. Now, I stand at the precipice of talking way too much, and I wanted to make it about our youth tonight. I want to tell you what they did while we were at convention. I have a short presentation. I'll try to be fast so that we're not here for 2 hours with me just talking and talking. So the first thing I want to start with, we'll start with our group picture. There's a group picture. You'll note Maddie Henry, I'm sorry, you're missing from this one. One I took and she was in it, but then somebody else got cut off. I made this picture, I'm sorry. Maddie was there, I promise. This is where we had the main ballroom where we were at. You can go to the next slide. So here's our first person for Songs of Praise. I left off an S, Songs of Praise. That was Olivia Byrne. She was a finalist. She did an awesome job leading a song, because women have to lead songs too. In a women devotional setting or a ladies' day, women need to be song leaders also. And she did an excellent job for us. She was a finalist. Next slide. Boy speech. Levi Haas, he was a finalist for ninth grade speech, and you're going to get to hear that in just a few minutes. That's why I don't want to talk so much, because I want him to speak for himself, because he's just going to do such a tremendous job for you. He gave it twice, and he was outstanding. And I was a little bit heartbroken that he wasn't like first place, second place, but I was a little bit biased. And sometimes it's a little bit hard to like, oh no, they should get it. But it's one of those things that's subjective. What you've got, parents are just judging, and they're kind of judging the way that their favorite is. And it's like anything, whether it's speech or song leading, we kind of all have our favorites. But the important thing to learn is like everybody that participates, they're all winners. Like they're all servants. And Tim started with a perfect song. They're all servants for the Lord. Next slide. And then Jackson, a little biased again, third place with his speech at Lads to Leaders. So that was good for boys' speech. Next slide. the Bible Bowl high score individual, and our Bible Bowl teams just did great. Thank you all of you who helped read Bible Bowl questions. You read Bible Bowl scriptures. You read from Ezra and Nehemiah and all those names that are really hard to pronounce. And you did it for many Sundays in a row. So thank you for your help. And the kids for reading all those crazy names and learning all those bits of Bible trivia. Our Bible Bowl high score individuals, this is a test they took before they went to Lads to Leaders. They took this test online in February, and this is how they scored. They were Bible Bowl high score individuals, which means they scored within the top 10 of their grade division. So we had Jude and Colin, pre-K through second grade. Talking about you, Colin. He got a high score, even though he's about this big. Compared to other kids about that big. So that was awesome. You're going to hear from him later. Amelia for 5th and 6th grade, she did great. Jackson, he did great. Ezra, he did great. It's in the top 10 of that particular grade division. So that was a great job by them. Now the Bible Bowl, next slide, was slightly different, and that was everybody. When you're on a team of four and you have to answer kind of A, B, C, D, we had a few finalist teams. Our third and fourth grade team were finalists. Again, the little guys did great. Jude, Will, Ada, and Caleb were finalists for Bible Bowl. So that was great. Next slide. The seventh and eighth grade team finalists, we had Evie, Jackson, Ezra, and Carter. And just did a tremendous job considering there are so many people there. They're really kind of in this huge ballroom and all these other Bible Bowl teams are there. And they sit behind the person in front of them so they can't see what they're answering. And they're just holding up their answer for the judge, A, B, C, or D. And they just did a great job. So it was really exciting to see them rewarded for their efforts. And again, even if they weren't rewarded for their efforts, they still win. They're still rewarded for their efforts, right? And then the next slide, we have the parade of leaders. And we chose Chloe and Madison to be our leaders that held the banner. Thank you, Sheila Frakes, for making the banner for us, for the parade of leaders. That was another thank you. Somebody got an individual thank you. Thank you, Sheila. Because she made that at the last second because I was confused about the banner thing. And we picked Chloe and Madison to carry it for us because they were seniors, and this is their first and last year for Lads to Leaders. So we let them do that during the parade of leaders. Next slide. Then we had a lot of achievement on the Pearls test. This is a curriculum we did in the teen class, and it's written by a whole bunch of names in the Brotherhood you would probably recognize. And the emphasis was building godly homes. Because, you know, in Ezra and Nehemiah, they are rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. They are rebuilding their homes in Jerusalem. So that was the focus of these particular lessons, is the important things of the home, like your marriage, discipline, your children, your friends, all the things that make homes important as it relates to biblical things. And again, these are top 10 achievers. They got, for their grade level, they're a top 10 score. So we had Lorelai and Evie and Ezra for 7th and 8th grade. 9th and 10th grade, we had Olivia, Rebecca Taylor, Levi Haas, and Rosie Ryan. So they were top 10 scorers, which meant they really listened and they really took that material to heart. And those were some pretty deep concepts and some pretty important concepts as it pertains to their family someday. And next slide. And then Art says that we had one finalist, and that was Jackson. And he got somehow his artwork was lost between convention and home. So but we have photo evidence of what was a finalist. And then excitingly, next slide, all these kids learned their books of the Bible. I think we have a couple that got bronze, which means they just knew the New Testament or just the Old Testament. Maybe not all of them, but almost all, with the exception of two, all of them learned all 66 books and can recite them to you. Next slide. As a second language, Rosie Ryan learned some scriptures in Russian, so she got the second language award. The Centurion of Scripture is very impressive, and Colin and Graham both got recognized for this at convention because they learned 100 verses of Scripture. So throughout, you have the whole year between convention to convention to learn 100 verses of Scripture, and they recited 100 verses. They've logged 100 verses of Scripture, so they received the Centurion of Scripture award. And lastly, the French family decided they made it a goal that they were going to read through the New Testament in their house when they learned about Lads to Leaders. So they did. So they all got recognized also for Read the Word. So I've talked way more than I really wanted to, but I wanted to acknowledge all the cool things that they did. I'm going to let the rest of the service is really just going to be them. You're going to hear them read scripture. You're going to hear them lead songs. And you're going to hear them speak just like they did just last weekend. And hopefully you all get to enjoy it. So if you'll give them your attention and your heart as we sing, that would be appreciated.
Hello, I will be reading Genesis 11, 1 through 9. That is Genesis 11, 1 through 9, New King James Version. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose tops is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and tower, which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there, confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth.
I'll be reading Daniel 3:19-25 from the ESV. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fear, and expression of his face changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it usually was heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into their burning fiery furnace. These men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and all their other garments. And they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because king's order was so urgent and the furnace was overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to the counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?" They answered to the king, "True, O king," he answered and said, "but I see four men bound walking in the midst of the fire. They are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth one is like a son of the gods."
How has an engineer affected your life? Engineers have helped design all the houses every single one of us live in today. Engineers have also designed lots of famous structures. Some examples are the Eiffel Tower, the Statue of Liberty, and the Golden Gate Bridge. Let's learn some spiritual lessons from the Golden Gate Bridge, Joseph B. Strauss, and of course, the Bible. Lots of people don't know the name Joseph B. Strauss, but he was the chief engineer of the Golden Gate Bridge. While during the process of building the Golden Gate Bridge, many obstacles had to be overcome. The vast distance that needed to be spanned in order to safely build a road seemed almost impossible at that time. The strait had rapidly running tides, frequent fogs, and storms that made construction difficult and dangerous. They also had to deal with blasting rock under deep water to plant earthquake-proof foundations. During construction, Joseph B. Strauss had to assess the building of the bridge and oversee its construction. Engineers aren't the only people who assess, though. We as Christians have to assess for the church. Much like an engineer assesses the support of a strength beam or bolt, we as Christians get tested by the outside world. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in faith. Test yourselves. Do not know yourselves that Jesus is in you." Christians have the perfect tool for overcoming life's obstacle. This is the perfect tool that God gave us, the Bible. This means when we have a question or obstacle in life, we can look into the Bible and find the help that we are seeking. There are mistakes Christians don't have to make because we can test them through God's Word. The Golden Gate Bridge was one of the most marvelous engineering structures of its time. The Golden Gate Bridge is huge. The Golden Gate Bridge spans 4,200 feet between its main support towers, which stands 746 feet high. That's over double the height of the Statue of Liberty. Massive bundles of cables support the bridge in conjunction with the massive towers that require tons of underwater blasting in order to lay earthquake-resistant foundations. This bridge is 1.7 miles long and 90 feet wide. If you think this is impressive, think about another great example of building in the Bible. I'm actually talking about an impressive day of building the Lord's church. Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost led to an amazing response that began the growth of the early church. In Acts 2:41, it says about 3,000 people were baptized that same day and became the church. This was a great start for the early church and a powerful example of building for us today. We can't all be Peter, but we can all help build the church. For example, we can share the gospel with everyone we meet, and we can also make sure that we spend our lives serving others. Another thing people might not realize about Joseph B. Strauss is that he was the inventor of the mobile safety net. Because of his invention, when working on the Golden Gate Bridge, many workers' lives were saved due to its use. This invention saved many workers' lives during the bridge's construction. This safety net is like Jesus. When people fell, as was almost certain to happen, their lives would be saved by the safety net. Jesus is the ultimate safety net. God knew that man was certain to sin, and mankind needed a safety net to save their souls. Jesus Christ is our safety net for this life and our life to come. Jesus died on the cross so that we can be saved and go to heaven. John 3:17 tells us that for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Just like those workers need that mobile safety net, the world needs Jesus. In conclusion, we have learned that much like building projects need engineers, Christians must also test and assess things by the Word of God. Another thing we have learned about building is that we all need to work to build the church each and every day. Finally, we realize as Christians that Jesus is the only safety net the world can truly rely on to save our souls.
I will be reading Romans 5, 1 through 8 on the ESV. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we also obtain access by faith into grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, for the right time Christ died for the ungodly, for one will scarcely die for the righteous person. Through perhaps for a good person will even dare to die, but God shows his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
I'll be singing Blue Skies and Rainbows 851, Blue Skies and Rainbows 851. Blue skies
and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are all I can see. When my heart is living in me, I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone, says he. Promised me that we never would part. On mountains, green valleys, the beauty that surrounds me, all made me aware of the one who made it all. I know that Jesus is well.
I will be reading Psalms 46, 6 through 11 from the ESV version. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes the wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
I'll be singing number 15, Step by Step. Number 15, Step by Step. Oh God, you are my God.
Walk in your ways and
In Super Bowl 51, the Atlanta Falcons were beating the New England Patriots 28-3. It was towards the end of the third quarter, and Atlanta was already celebrating. No one was expecting to see the unbelievable occur that night, as Tom Brady and the Patriots would pull off the greatest comeback win in Super Bowl history. Tom Brady marched the Patriots down the field, winning his fifth Super Bowl. Now, you may be asking, what does this have to do with us as Christians? Well, in the same way Brady and the Patriots had to rise up against the Falcons in that Super Bowl, we must rise up against the world. Here are three ways we can rise up as a Christian athlete. One way that we can rise up as a Christian athlete is to set goals. As an athlete, you must be constantly setting goals to improve your game and better yourself. This is no different in our Christian lives. As Christians, we must be constantly setting goals to further our relationship with God. Turn with me to Philippians 3:13-14. The Bible says here, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the outward call of God in Christ Jesus." This illustrates the goal for an outward call of God. Each day, we should be striving diligently for that upward call, because it is the most important thing in all aspects of our lives. Now turn over to 2 Timothy 4:7-8. Paul says here, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. This is our reward. All that hard work and diligence, this is how it pays off. As we strive daily, our goal shall align with God and be wise, prudent, and biblical." Another way that we can rise up as Christian athletes is to condition. Now, conditioning is vital, because without it, there is no way you can improve. This is true in both our physical and spiritual lives. In the same way an athlete must condition both the body and the mind, a Christian must do the same. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This shows we must train our mind to think as of God and not of the world. Furthermore, Colossians 3:2 states, "Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth." As an athlete, we must keep our mind set on heavenly things rather than earthly things. Without conditioning, we have no chance to get closer with God or improve our spiritual lives. A final way Christian athletes can rise up, is to get off the bench. Now, what do I mean by the so-called get off the bench? As a Christian athlete, we must get up and go share the gospel. We can set goals and even condition, but none of that will mean anything if we not get off the bench. In Joshua 7:10, the Lord tells Joshua to get up. Today, he is telling each and every one of us the same thing. Turn with me to Matthew 28:18-20, a verse that no doubt many of you know by heart. "And Jesus came and spoke to him, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This verse should give us encouragement to go out and make disciples. Jesus is telling each and every one of us to get up. 10-time national championship coach John Wooden said, "If you are afraid to fail, you would never do the things you are capable of doing." Think about that for just a second. If you are afraid to fail, you will never do the things you are capable of doing. If you will not get up, then you will not be able to make disciples for the Lord. In conclusion, three ways we as Christian athletes can rise up is to set goals, condition, and get off the bench. In doing this, we can rise up, just as Tom Brady did in that Super Bowl. Nehemiah 2:17-18 says, "Then I said to them, 'You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach.' And I told them of the hand of my God, which has been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me." We must rise up if we want to expand the church. A great philosopher once said, "Our greatest glory is not in never falling, but in rising in every time we fall." Now, will you rise with me?
I'll be reading Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, for your arms they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
I'll be reading James 4:10. That's James 4:10 from ESV. "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks evil against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow, we will go into such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit.' Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." I'll be singing "Humble Yourself," 745. That's "Humble Yourself," 745. "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord.
Thank you. I'll be reading Psalms 43 and Psalm 100. Psalm 43 and Psalm 100 in the English Standard Version. Clap your hands, all people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy, for the Lord the Most High is to be feared. A great king over all the earth, he's subdued peoples under his feet and his nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with a sound of triumph. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The prince of the people gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, is he who made us, and we are his. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Good evening, church family. I want you to imagine that you're living in the days of the patriarchs, more specifically around 3500 BC. You're going to tend your sheep when something unexpected happens. Water's starting to fall from the sky. In disbelief, you feel more of this water soaking your hair and your clothes. And in horror, you remember what the outcast Noah had said, how the world would end in a flood. You run to the place where Noah had been building that boat for the last century. Hundreds of people are there, banging on the door of that boat, but it's of no use. The door isn't budging. And you realize, just like that door, your fate was sealed. Noah's fate, however, was not. He would live for another 350 years, in fact. But why am I talking about Noah? Well, the theme of this convention, Nehemiah 2, 17 through 18, is all about building. Who better than to talk about building than Noah himself? By doing three things, Noah became a builder for the Lord. Noah built by hearing the word of God. Sounds simple, right? While this does sound simple, you can't build anything without the proper instructions. Have you ever tried to build a Lego set without the instruction manual? It is not an easy task, and in the same way, neither is doing God's will without his instructions, the Bible. Impossible, in fact. In Genesis 6, we see God talking to Noah. While most of this is instruction, we can see at least one thing we can apply to our lives. Let's look to God's word together. All my verses will come from the New King James Version. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Doesn't this sound familiar? Just like in Noah's day, evil is everywhere we look. People are telling us that it's okay to murder children that are still in the womb. Marriages are collapsing. Many people today say that the world needs Jesus. But the world has had Jesus for the past 2,000 years. All we need to do is just listen to him. With all this said, Noah still had to believe the instructions of God, which leads me to my second point. Noah had to believe to be a builder. Let's go take a look at Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Focus on those two words with me now. By faith. But what does that mean? Let's let the Bible speak for itself. Faith is the belief that leads to action. Back up to verse 6 with me. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Noah, knowing what a difficult job he had ahead of him, chose to have faith and try to please God. Jesus had this to say in Matthew 15:18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. Jesus is saying that action comes from our heart. Not our physical heart, that is, but our intellectual belief, our motives, and our emotions. Noah had to believe to be a builder. And just like faith, belief leads to action. Noah had to act to be a builder. Let's finish off Genesis 6. Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Bible said that it took Noah, the Bible said he did everything God commanded him to. It took Noah 100 years to build that ark, a whole lifetime to us. But he did it. Imagine waking up every morning knowing that you were going to get scoffed at. What rain, Noah? They would yell and sneer at you. We see a similar situation in Psalm 73. In verses 13 and 14, it says, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. But drop down to verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. The author got comfort knowing that God is just. It says that Noah became the heir of righteousness in Hebrews 11:7. Now read with me 1 Peter 3:20 through 21. Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine longsuffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, 8 souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just like Noah, we must rise up and build. When we are baptized, we must rise up out of that water. We are now in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 calls us new creations. But that is not all. Psyche took all those nails and all those planks to build the ark into a beautiful, and more importantly, a more functional boat. We must build each other up to make ourselves a more beautiful and more functional church. Every day, we have to hear God's word. We have to believe it. We have to take action, just like Noah did, to survive on our heavenly walk. If you need anything tonight, prayers, to confess your sins, anything at all, please come forth as we stand and sing.
Soldiers of Christ,
who we knew worked hard before this, if we think they did a good job, how about we give them an amen? What do you think? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We are so glad for what y'all have done and what you're doing. It makes young folks like me, and then way older folks who are out there too, it makes them feel good about knowing what the future is looking like. We're so excited about the work that y'all put in, and we just hope that you will continue with that, because the Lord's church needs it. We hope you get to use it here at Central in many years, but we also know that if not here, you're going to be blessing to some church around the country, and so good for you, and keep at it. We just could not be happier with what y'all have done. It may be that some here did not get a chance to partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, and so that is going to be offered. If you didn't have a chance to grab one of the implements, they're just outside that door if you need to grab that. We're going to sing a song to help set our minds for that. We're going to sing three verses of When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and I believe Jared's got the devotional thoughts for the Lord's Supper. Let's all sing together.
When I survey the
saw so many great examples tonight. I had a message prepared, but I thought that's a better example than I can give you tonight, along with the song. The song has a lot of great thoughts in it. It's one of my favorites when preparing the Lord's Supper. So there's also examples provided us in the Gospels when we come together the first day of the week of what we need to do to remember the sacrifice that our Lord made for us. Pray with me as we take the bread. Father, we come to you tonight, thanking you for your sacrifice and remembering what you've endured, the bread being an example of your body and the torment that you went through just for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's give thanks for the cup. Father, this cup that we are praying over represents the blood spilled out for us. Your sacrifice is something we can't fathom. But to know that you have done that for us, we have come to you tonight. We're remembering it. We want to always remember what you have done for us. your name we pray. Amen. At this time, we also pray over our offering, where we give back a part of our means. Pray with me. Father, thank you for allowing us to live in a great country where we can take some of our means, give that back to your church, and that can be distributed through our friends and family here at the church, our congregation, and our community to fulfill your work here on earth. We know this is a small sacrifice on our part to let everyone know the sacrifice that you made for us. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's close in prayer. Pray with me, please. Father, we are so thankful for these opportunities we've had today to gather with the saints, to join our voices in unison with each other, to lift up our praises to you. And it's our prayer that you have found our worship services to be pleasing, a sweet savor to you. Father, we thank you for each young person here who has taken the time and effort to learn scripture verses, to lead singing, to do the other things that they have done. Be with them as they develop the skills that you've given them. May they have a lifelong desire and opportunity to serve in your kingdom wherever they may be. And Lord, be with us, each one of us, this week as we go about our different lives. None of us know what lies in the future, but you do. But may we lead each day knowing that it could be our last and live acceptably in your sight. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. I've been given no announcements, so we are dismissed. We hope you have a great week.